Unmute again. Sorry, I forgot to unmute again. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to our quarterly member meeting. I have a few things to share with you tonight. I'm going to share our financial report from the first quarter from January through March. I'm going to share with you about changes on the board of directors, and I'll also talk about the nominations to the member board of trustees. And since maybe everyone's not clear on the difference between those two boards, I'll talk about the difference between those two boards. I'll also talk about the upcoming election process for the member board of trustees. And then I think maybe we'll have some sharing from the retreat house, from Shauna, maybe from Jay, maybe from Cheryl. We'll see what happens. See who wants to share based on the experiences that we had in May. And I can show you some pictures from May, too, if you want to see those pictures. They came out this morning. So first things first, let's go to our financial report. I'll share my screen. And I've put it in Excel. So this is our financial report for Q1. So again, January 1 to March 31st, 2019. And you'll notice that the first thing is here is gifts in kind goods and gifts in kind services. This is when people give something other than money. So goods, of course, are when they give tangible things. And you'll notice that we had $622 worth of tangible gifts given to the retreat house, and you know that was a whole host of things, including some kitchen items, books for our library, humidifiers for each room, footstools. It's difficult to sit here and remember what all was given, but especially since we were still kind of in setting up house, we were still in nesting mode in Q1. There were a lot of gifts that were given. We also have gifts in kind services, $560. We pay our MPP facilitators, but sometimes MPP facilitators donate their time and they don't require payment. So we had $560 worth of donated time in Q1, which really saves us that $560, allows us to keep it and use it for other things. So we deeply appreciate that. Now, our cash contributions are regular individual business contributions that help to support our operations, were $6,815. Now, you're going to find when we get to the bottom that we have a negative. In fact, I think it's around negative. Let me just go ahead and peek. Yeah, negative $8,389. So one of the things I'm going to be sharing with you is where that negative is coming from. And one of the places that it's coming from is this line item, just regular donations. You'll notice last year on March 31st, we'd had $10,254 donated. And this year on March 31st, $6,815. So that's a part of where this deficit is coming from. And I don't know why donations have gone down. I don't think that we're providing less service. In fact, we have three gentle healing groups going, which of course is provided freely. And so hopefully, you know, hopefully that results in some donations. You know, it's possible that it's because of a change in tax laws. I did hear that donations to nonprofits are down nationwide as a result of some changes to tax laws. So that's a possibility. But we'll just keep our eye on that and watch that. But definitely our donations were down by about $3,500 in the first quarter. The president minister's pay is donated each quarter, and that was donated. So that's taken care of. Also, one person donates a portion of Dawn's pay, the sanctuary director's pay. This much is donated every quarter to help us with her pay. And so that was donated. And then in addition, we had donations to the retreat house. Now, this says $4,245, but notice I said $2,000 from temporary assets. What that really means is $2,245 was actually donated this year. There was some money that was donated between November 2014 and October 2018 that I kind of kept aside in temporary assets for things like paying bills in the first year, for repairing our deck, for painting our house, for paying our 2018 property taxes. It's money that I kept hidden. So even though it was donated in previous years, it didn't actually hit the budget in those previous years. And I pull it out as we need it to help keep us from having too large of a negative. So I took $2,000 from previous year's retreat house donations and pulled it out in the first quarter. So that $2,000 plus another $2,245 was donated, giving us a total of $4,245, which means our direct public support for the first quarter was $28,792. We also, as you know, Don's always announcing that if you shop at Amazon Smile and select Awakening Together as your charity, in the first quarter, your shopping resulted in $168.19 donated to us. And then, of course, our savings interest, $4.18. We were also paid royalties from the French publisher, the publisher of the French NTI, $550.76. MPP income. So this is the money that people paid to take MPP in the first quarter, $2,729. And then the money that we made for people coming to retreats in January and February, $2,050, which all of that resulted in a total of $4,779 in program fees. We also sold almost $364 worth of books. And at the retreat house, we had a lodging income of $1,325 in Q1. So our total income was $35,983, or really almost $984. Now, before I go to the expense side, is there anybody that has a comment or a question on the income? And if so, just speak up because I can't see you. I'm sharing my screen. Okay, then let me continue. So that was our income. Now let's look at our expenses. So first of all, we applied for property tax exemption. We haven't heard back yet, but we're hoping we won't have to pay property tax going forward. And that cost $175 just to apply. In addition, there are $231 in bank fees, both PayPal fees and fees from our bank, Wells Fargo. This is the amount that Cheryl was paid in Q1. Now, Cheryl also gets a room and board in addition, but this is the cash that she was paid in Q1 for being our retreat house caretaker. $288.75 is what we pay Bruce Rawls. He's our webmaster. He takes care of things that is a little bit above our technical know-how, and so that's what we paid him, which means we paid a total of $3,301 for outside contractors. Cheryl is considered a contractor, not an employee. For our AT van, our expenses were $542.30. That's mostly auto insurance. $500 of that was auto insurance. So very little gas, very little driving happening in the first quarter. Only $42.30 in gas. postage was extra high this month, but that's because about $150 of that postage was shipping the radio PC to Don in Tampa. So we had $263.04 in postage. The other $100 would be mostly shipping books to people when they order books. $33 on office supplies. That's mainly envelopes for shipping books and printer ink. Whoops, every now and then this jumps over there. $283.63, that's the internet for both Jacqueline and Don's home offices. So that was that money for the first quarter. We also paid $18.99 to get some recording software for Don. And then $737 in the first quarter for all of the different software products we use, including Drive HQ, which is where we keep our audios. So again, even though you click on the audio and you listen to it for free, it costs us money to store it there. The radio, which you listen to for free, MailChimp, which sends out the daily update, which you receive for free, and QuickBooks, which is where we keep track of all our finances. You know, none of that stuff is free for us to use. So that was the cost in Q1, $737. When we come down to our payroll for Q1 was $25,300. And the sanctuary director did receive an increase over our prior sanctuary director, but that increase was donated, which you saw up above. So there's really no change for us since someone donates that increase. However, our vice president was getting paid more. Her hourly rate was exactly the same, but in Q1 of last year, she only worked 15 hours a week. And in Q1 of this year, she worked 30 hours a week. So in effect, that's a double that expense. And that, so I would say that this is the second reason why we see a bigger negative number at the bottom. The first reason being, again, the donations are down. And then the second reason being that Jacqueline's pay in Q1 was double what it was in Q1 of 2018 because she's working more hours. Now, I will tell you that in May, Jacqueline received a well-deserved raise. She was really severely underpaid. To be honest, she was paid less than Dawn is paid. We took care of that. Yeah, she was. We took care of that in May. So now she's making more money. So that may also affect the budget going forward, but it needed to happen. I mean, she was just severely underpaid, almost working as a volunteer. And we appreciate it. I mean, I worked my first 4 years as a total volunteer. So sometimes that happens, but now she's on a legitimate payroll. But we'll see how that affects the budget going forward. But again, we needed to do it. We also see employer social security tax, employer Medicare, and then minister housing allowance. Part of my salary is paid as a housing allowance rather than a salary. So it's kind of divided in two parts. So this is the part of my salary that's paid as a housing allowance, $5,000 in the first quarter. Facilitator fees. This is the money that we paid facilitators to facilitate in Q1. So again, we do pay our MPP facilitators. The ceiling fan at the retreat house broke. And in fact, it wasn't just a ceiling fan. It was also the light for our dining room. So it kind of left us with a very dark dining room. So that was something we needed to replace. So $115, this was the cost of the electrician. The cost of the ceiling fan actually shows up in this $1,000 down here, furniture, fixtures, equipment, miscellaneous. And the actual cost of the ceiling fan was $250. But the electrician who installed it cost $115. The utilities, the telephone, the internet, the trash pickup for Q1 at the retreat house was $2,278. Now what we're going to see at the retreat house is we're going to see that during the cooler months, those bills are going to be significantly higher than in the warmer months because in La Vida, it really doesn't get too warm, so there's no air conditioning. So, you know, some people have expensive heat in the winter and then expensive air in the summer. We only have expensive heat in the winter. So we're going to find that in the summer months, our utility bills are really going to drop. But in the summer months, they go way up. And, of course, January and February are very high. So, again, this is the cost for Q1. Supplies, materials, groceries for Q1, $1,626. This includes things like toilet paper, cleaning supplies, food. And again, we not only buy food for our guests, but Cheryl gets paid room and board, so we pay for Cheryl's food too. Remember, she only receives $1,000 a month in actual cash. The rest of it is a place to live and food to eat and toilet paper to wipe her bum with. So that's $1,626 for the first quarter. That did include food for guests. Printing and books, $381. Now, some of that $381, it actually balances out with books that were donated on the top line, on the income side. We didn't actually spend this much on books. But some of it, was spent for books for retreat. For example, I have a retreat starting tomorrow, a self-inquiry retreat, and everybody attending the retreat will receive a book. So sometimes a book, you know, like a textbook is part of the retreat, and that's what that expense is. And then furniture, fixtures, equipment, miscellaneous, $1,121. Again, $250 of that was the ceiling fan. You know, I would have to go look up what the rest of it was, but we were still setting up house in Q1. So we were purchasing things because we needed to purchase things. This amount should drop as we go forward because now we pretty much have everything that we need. For the most part, we may find some other things along the way, but that's what that is. Mortgage interest. We paid $793.83 in mortgage interest in Q1. Just to let you know, we owe approximately $70,000 on the retreat house, which isn't bad because we borrowed $80,000 in October. The reason we got from $80,000 down to $70,000 in such a short amount of time is because one member donated $8,000 to help us with the principal. Otherwise, we would still owe $78,000. Because, you know, in the beginning of a loan, most of the payment is interest. It's not very much principal. So we would still owe $78,000 if it wasn't for that one person. But now we're down to around $70,000, which is really sweet. And then this is just our bank and credit card fees. Again, when you pay for the retreat or you pay for your lodging on PayPal, they charge us fees. And so this is those fees related to the retreat house. Our total expenses then for Q1 were $44,373, which is more than our income. So we have a negative $8,389.39 for Q1. Just for reference, we also had a negative in Q1 of last year, but it was only $2,441. So it's $6,000 more. And again, part of that is coming from donations being reduced. And part of that was coming from Jacqueline's hours being increased, but not her pay increase, because her pay increase didn't hit until May. So she was still working on extremely low pay. So we'll see what happens as we go forward. Right now, I can tell you that I looked just before I came into this meeting to see where we stand today. And we're making a little bit of progress on the donations. We were around $3,500 less in donations at the end of Q1 than we were at the end of Q1 last year. Right now, we're only about $2,000 less on June 9th of this year than June 9th of last year. So it looks like there were some more donations that came in April and May, which are helping us to kind of catch up. So right now, the situation isn't getting, you know, the gap isn't getting bigger. The gap is getting smaller. And we'll just go forward and see what continues to happen there. So, any questions on the financial report? And again, if so, or comments, and if so, just speak up because I can't see you while I'm sharing my screen.
Just real quick, Regina, could you remind us how big the gap is as of this moment?
I can peek, because otherwise I would be, remembering, and my memory is not always the best. Sometimes I look at my memory and then I go, oh, shoot, you know. So what I'll do is I'll run a report for us real quick. So I'm going to go into reports and operational financial report. And at the top, I'm going to tell it I want to compare it to the previous year. And I'm going to run the report. Okay. So this year, right now, as of today, we have $14,720 in donations. And last year at this time we had $16,999. So again, it's closer to $2,200 gap, where at the end of Q1 it was closer to $3,500 gap. So the gap is closing at this point rather than getting bigger, which, you know, is very, very helpful. Also, just to let you know, as of today, we're negative $5,273, but last year at this time we were negative $7,198. So again, proof that the gap is closing. Any other questions about the financial report? Okay, then I'm going to stop my share. Hi, Ron. Did you get to hear all that? I know you're kind of interested in finances. Okay, good. Yeah, good, good. I'm glad. Glad you didn't miss that. All right. The next thing I want to share then are some changes on the board of directors. Before I do that, let me just share briefly the difference between the board of directors and the member board of trustees, because we do have two boards, a higher board and a lower board, not to insult them or anything. And the member board of trustees is the lower board. We have three appointed members to the member board of trustees, and that is Don Fernandez, or really just whoever our sanctuary director is. Our sanctuary director is always on the member board of trustees. Jacqueline Eckert, because again, our vice president minister is always on the member board of trustees. And then I'm on the member board of trustees because our president minister is always on the member board of trustees. So those are the three appointed members. And then we can have up to 12 members, and all of the other members are elected. And in fact, that's the election that's coming up very, very soon. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. The member board of trustees meets once a month, and they are responsible for overseeing day-to-day business. And in fact, there are several subcommittees. There are extensions of the member board of trustees that help them do that. The leadership committee, which is Jacqueline, Don, and I, are an extension of the trustees. There's a scholarship committee, which is an extension of the trustees. The retreat house subcommittee, which is an extension of the trustees, et cetera. So the trustees and their subcommittees really manage the day-to-day business in Awakening Together. The higher board is the board of directors, and the members of the board of directors, the way they're selected, is the member board of trustees nominates rather than all members. The member board of trustees nominates people to the board of directors, but the board selects their own peers, and they can follow the trustees' recommendation or not and just pick someone else. So the board of directors picks their own peers. And the board of directors only meets once a quarter unless there's a special reason for them to meet. And they oversee the member board of trustees to make sure that we are ethical, that we are managing the organization according to our purpose and values, etc. So they're really our bosses. The board of directors are the oversight of the member board of trustees. So there are some changes to the member board of there are some changes to the board of directors, the higher board, that occurred in May. First of all, two new members were elected to the board of directors. One of which is sitting right here, Ron Raitz. Ron was elected to the board of directors. And then the other person elected to the board of directors was Toni Fields, who is not here right now, but she's typically at Gentle Healing on Tuesday night. So some of you may know her from there. So both Toni and Ron were elected to the board of directors. Norma Clark, who is our vice chairperson, when you serve on the board of directors, it's a 6-year term. So her 6-year term was coming up. Because she became our vice chairperson on July 21st, 2013. And so this year, July 21st, would be 6 years. But she was reelected to the same position. So she is starting her second term as our vice chairperson. Phil Frisk, who is actually still today our chairman of the board, like Norma, was selected to be the chairman of the board on July 21st, 2013. And so his 6 years ends on July 21st, 2013. And he decided for health reasons that he did not want to remain as our chairman of the board. So the board elected a new chairman. The new chairman will become chairman of the board on July 21st, which is the day that Phil retires. And that is Hal Seeley. Some of you may know Hal. He's an Awakening Together minister. In fact, the chairman of the board has to be an Awakening Together minister. That's in our constitution. And in fact, he's taking his role very seriously, which I'm really happy to see. And he is coming here to, he's coming to La Vida. I'm in Pueblo right now. He's coming to La Vida the last week in June to spend time with me so that I can teach him, you know, all about our policies and our procedures and just teach him everything that he needs to know in order to be an effective chairman of the board. And again, Hal will take over as chairman on the board on July 21st when Phil retires. One thing I want to say about Phil, since he is going to be retiring, you know, many of you may not know Phil well because he's kind of a background character, but he's a very strong background character. I didn't know of Phil right away. There were some things he was doing that were affecting my teaching that I did not know about. In the very, very beginning, I'm talking about in 2005, I used to write, you know, with, I called it Holy Spirit with inner wisdom, and I would post it on a Yahoo group. And when Phil saw a message posted that seemed profound to him, he took it and reposted it on his website. The first message that he took and reposted was, the ego is not the devil, which is really a wonderful message. I like to reteach it every now and then because it's such a wonderful message. And he was putting things up on his website, which began to create some visibility for Regina Don Akers that I didn't even know about. Later, when I started teaching in ACIM Gather without me even knowing about it, he started recording my teachings, and he was posting them on his website, which was called... I think it was acimmiracles.us, I think was his website, but I could be wrong on that. But then as I started teaching more, he decided that instead of these being posted on that website, there should be a dedicated Regina Don Akers website. So he bought the domain reginadonakers.com, and he started posting my audios there. I didn't even know about it. Like, I had no idea this was going on. That's the funny part. And I kept teaching more and more, because I was getting so much value out of the teaching. You know, I felt like teaching was helping me to awaken. And at some point, Phil felt like he couldn't keep up. And this is when he contacted me. So I met him months after he was, you know, even managing a reginadonakers.com website that I didn't know anything about. And he contacted me and let me know that what he had done. And he let me know that... that he couldn't keep up with my teaching anymore. And he asked me if I wanted to take over recording and posting the recordings and managing the website. Now, I knew nothing about how to do that, so he taught me. So, of course, reginadonakers.com later led to Awakening Together, and I manage our website to this day. So, you know, and the fact that we record audios and that we post them on Drive HQ and that you guys get to listen to them for free, that's all stuff I learned how to do from Phil. You know, so much of how our organization operates came from background Phil, from Phil back there in the background. So when I was guided to start the Foundation for the Holy Spirit in April of 2006, along with that guidance came two names, Phil Frisk and David Fishman. And they were the two people who joined with me as the board of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And we started the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. And then later, when the guidance came to start Awakening Together under the umbrella of the Foundation for the Holy Spirit, Phil became our chairman of the board. And of course, now he's retiring. So that's just a little information about Phil. And he's done a lot for us, even though some people may not know it at all. And I'm really grateful for everything he's done. And Hal has big boots to fill. but Hal seems really excited about his role as chairman of the board. And I'm excited to get with him at the end of June and talk to him about our organization and how it works. So... any questions about the updates on the board of directors? Okay. Well, again, congratulations to Ron, congratulations to Tony, congratulations to Norma, and congratulations to Hal. So the next thing that I want to talk about then is the trustees, the lower board. the other than the three appointed members, which again were Don and Jacqueline and myself, all of the trustees are elected by the membership. And they're elected to 3-year terms. And so the way that works is first we go through a nomination process in order to figure out who's going to be on the ballot. And then we go through a voting process to see who's going to be added to the member board of trustees. This year we're adding 2 people to the member board of trustees. Now Jay has been on the member board of trustees for 6 years. He was a founding member, which means he was here when we first started building Awakening together, and all founding members had 6-year terms. So even though most trustees have a 3-year term, he's the last remaining founding member that isn't in an appointed position. And his 6-year term is ending on July 21st. So Jay is interested in remaining on the member board of trustees, and so he is one of the nominees that you will see on the ballot. And if he should happen to be elected again, this time he will only serve a 3-year term, because that 6-year term was only once for the original founders, just to make sure that their knowledge about the organization kind of carried through before they all disappeared. Also, George Maddox, who's sitting here. Hey, George. George has been nominated and has accepted the nomination. And so George will be on the ballot for the member board of trustees. Also, Aggie Michkowski. Michkowski, how do you say it? Michkowski or Michkowski? You might know. I'll say Michkowski because there's no W there. Aggie Michkowski. Aggie, some of you may know her. She's our forum director, and she is incredible. She's a hard worker and not on the payroll. In fact, somebody recently asked, she does all that without pay? Yeah, she's a volunteer. She does all that without pay. But she was nominated, and she has accepted the nomination, so she will be on the ballot. And then Beverly Toporowski, she does have a W, Beverly Toporowski. And some of you may have met her last Sunday night. She was ordained when Shauna was ordained last Sunday night. And in fact, she was a late addition to the nominees because someone saw her and heard her speak last Sunday night and nominated her after the meeting because they were so impressed with her. And she has accepted the nomination. Those 4 people are the 4 people who will be on the ballot. And again, we have 2 positions. Again, that's Jay McCormick, George Maddox, Aggie Michkowski, and Beverly Toporowski. Rayla was also nominated, but she turned down the nomination. And the reason she turned down the nomination is she's starting a new job, and the job schedule conflicts with the trustee meeting schedule, so she wouldn't be able to attend the meetings. Shauna was also nominated 3 times. But she turned down the nomination. She said that's just not the way she wants to serve. She serves a lot right now by helping Cheryl at the retreat house, doing cleaning and that kind of thing, and that suits her. She didn't want to get in on the more business aspect of the organization. But both Rayla and Shauna were also nominated. Neither one of them accepted the nomination. The ballots will actually be mailed to all members on June 25th. And again, all 4 of these people will be on the ballot, and you will be able to select 2, no more than 2. And those instructions will be given. And then we'll just see who floats to the top, who most of the votes go to. Voting closes on July 9th at 5 p.m. So you'll have from June 25th to July 9th at 5 p.m. to cast your vote. During that time, we're going to do a couple of things to help you make your decision. One thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a special member meeting. We've invited the 4 nominees to come, and they're just going to talk about themselves. Just let you get to know them is all. Because, you know, otherwise for some of you, some of them may just be names. So they'll come and they'll probably talk about their spiritual path. They might talk about their family life. They might talk about their job history. If you want to ask them a question, you can ask them a question. We'll have about 15 minutes per nominee, and that will help you make your decision. So that special member meeting is June 30th, the last Sunday in June at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The other thing that we'll do to help you get to know them is I have asked all of the nominees to send me a picture and a brief bio, 1 to 3 paragraphs long. And I will create a web page that I will post on the website under the to read menu. You'll to read, and then you'll see something about the nominees. And I'll notify you via a message once that's posted. And you can go there and click, and you can see their pictures, and you can read their information. So both through that page and also through the special member meeting, you'll have an opportunity to get to know all of these people by June 30th. And then again, you still have until July 9th to vote for two of them. So that's plenty of information and plenty of time. Anybody have any questions about the trustee election or anything you want to add, Jacqueline? Okay, one other change I want to let you know about that's coming up. Right now, we have 5 ministers who lead the weekly gathering on a regular basis. The first Sunday of each month is rotated between Reverend Helen Avery and Reverend Gloria Wells, so that one month one will do it, the next one will do it. But the second Sunday of each month is Reverend Jay McCormick. I do the third Sunday of each month, and Jacqueline does the fourth Sunday of each month. So recently I sent out a message asking if there were any other ministers that wanted to be added to that rotation, and several have accepted. In fact, roughly we have a total of 10 ministers now. I'll have to go in and look. So what's going to happen is it's going to start rotating. If it is 10, or it might be even 11, that means each of us will teach every 10 or 11 weeks. So we're going to be seeing a lot more ministers showing up on Sunday mornings. This will start in July. So there'll be a lot more variety in what is shared. And that's really wonderful. You know, I've been reading The Finders by Dr. Jeffrey Martin. And in fact, I'm going to interview him here in the sanctuary next Sunday night at 7:30 Eastern. But he talks about what is helpful to people waking up, and he also talks about what can be detrimental. And one of the things that can be detrimental that can hold people back is a dogma or beliefs. And we know this. That's why we have a core value about this, right? You know, so like if you're really Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles, you have a very narrow vision. And that can actually keep you from waking up, which explains why there's so many people that have been Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles, Course in Miracles for 30 years and haven't really gone anywhere, right? And that doesn't matter whether it's a Course in Miracles or what it is. When you're very dogmatic about one point of view regarding awakening, that tends to be a hindrance. When you have information about awakening from a wide variety of sources, good, reliable sources, of course, that actually helps you to awaken. And that's really one of the principles that Awakening Together was built on. And so the fact that we're going to have several ministers, and of course they read different things, so they're going to be bringing different things to our Sunday morning weekly gathering, that will help us to be less dogmatic. Hopefully we aren't dogmatic, but certainly with more voices coming from more directions, that will help us to be less dogmatic. And that should actually help us to awaken. So that's really good news. Also, as I read his book, I found that all of our core values are helping us to awaken, each and every one of them. You know, like one of the core values, now he doesn't word things the way we do. He doesn't talk about following your own inner guidance. He doesn't word it that way. He's a scientist. He talks like a scientist. But what he does talk about is that people need to be free to notice what's working for them. And if it's not working for them, they need to be free to try something else, right? And that's really the same as following your own inner guidance. So as I read his book, it really gave me additional confidence. Not that I had any doubt, but, you know, just additional confidence in our core values. They are very solid, very helpful. In fact, I'll go ahead and cheat a little bit. I'm going to share this more on Tuesday night. But at the end of his research, he named the things that are most helpful, to awakening. Listen to this list of things that are most helpful to awakening. The first thing is awareness-centered practices, directly placing attention on awareness itself. Let's see, who does that? You know, Awakening Together does, right? The second thing, direct inquiry, using the mind, emotions, and sensations to actively dig in and seek the truth of oneself. This is done by constant attention to what the narrative self feels like and actively trying to deconstruct it through ongoing probing and questioning. Who does that? Right? Awakening Together does that. The third thing, are you ready for this? Is Shauna listening? Yeah, Shauna's here. Listen to this, Shauna. The third thing that helps you to wake up, mantra-based practices. Shauna just finished teaching on that, right? Using specific words or sounds as an object of concentration, right? And they do not even have to have a meaning. So mantra-based practices like the one we find in Inner Ramana, I am that I am. By the way, who does that? We do. Okay. The next thing that he says helps people to awaken is mindfulness-based practices. These are contemplative and meditative techniques for focusing on the present moment in a non-reactive way, right? We call that the Loving All Method, by the way. That's what the Loving All Method is all about. So who does that, right? Now, the last one we haven't done as much, so maybe I'll start putting more emphasis on this. I've done it, but I don't think I've actually taught it a lot. He calls it noting. And noting is awareness and mental labeling of ongoing experience. And so what this work, the way this works is, let's say that you, you notice you're jealous of your partner, right? Your partner's talking to somebody over there and you feel jealousy. You just say to yourself, okay, that's jealousy arising. I'm noticing jealousy. I'm noticing thoughts of inadequacy. I'm noticing I don't feel as pretty as her. And you're just, and you can see how that can be helpful, because really what you're doing is observing. So maybe we can just add a little bit more of that into the mix, because I think that's the only one of all the things he mentioned that we don't emphasize. Right? So Awakening Together, I think, is doing pretty well. You know, we do have the right practices. We do have the right core values. And we just need to keep moving in the direction that we're moving in without becoming dogmatic about it. So, and he also, by the way, mentioned how helpful it is to have a spiritual community where everyone supports each other. We're all about that, aren't we? He said that can be very, very helpful. In fact, he said the people that end up being the most dogmatic and therefore kind of stuck in their ways are people who are in isolation. He doesn't mean in a cave. He just means they don't have mighty companions. They're doing this in isolation. The people who have mighty companions progress further, faster, with both the support and the variety of points of view that they are introduced to and able to consider in their own, and then select from with their own inner guidance. So, all right, well, that is all I have from the member meeting itself. That's the agenda for the member meeting, but we do have 15 minutes left, and each month what we like to do is spend a moment, at least, listening to the people who were at the retreat house in the last month and let them share, what their experience was with the retreat house. And we've had a lot of people who have shared how nice the house is, how well decorated it is, how they were impressed by it. It was more than they expected, how clean it is, how good the food is. Okay, thank you. Now what I want to hear about is, how is this affecting you spiritually? You know, have you in the last month had realizations because of your association with the retreat house? Now, in the last month, we had no out-of-town guests. It was only the locals. It was Shauna and Jay and Cheryl and myself. But we had several one-day retreats, and we have one week-long retreat. So of the people who were there in May, Is there someone here who would like to speak up and share from how the retreat house has affected you spiritually in the last month? Cheryl, Shauna, or Jay? Here comes Cheryl.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi.
So I think one of the most important aspects has been my increasing desire to be more consistent and persistent with my practice. Even though I've not been journaling as much as I would like to, I see and I watch and being more observant. I'll give you an example. Today, I asked Lynn to help me set the table. And I noticed that the ego was commenting within. It wasn't, you know, I didn't verbalize. I noticed that there was this commentary going on, and I caught myself right in the middle of it. And I said, no, because she's doing it right. And that's one of the, it's one of our, what do you call it, Regina?
It's just one of our values that we have at the retreat house, that if somebody volunteers to do a job, we let them do it their way, unless it's really important, like unless they can get hurt in the way they're doing it or something like that. But otherwise, we just let them do it their way. We don't control anyone.
Yeah, because Cheryl's ego is about setting the table right, making it, you know, and I just let that go. And I'll tell you, it was great. I mean, seriously, I was like, oh, it's not important. What's really important is that, you know, we're joining in purpose, and this is what the retreat house is for. And the other piece for me is, I know I live here, but I really don't feel like it is my house. I mean, more than ever lately, I have really made a point to be so welcoming. And just making sure that everyone that comes here feels welcome and knows that, you know, this is your house and this is your retreat. So I'm even changing some of my wording and the verbiage and in the emails. It's just coming out naturally, organically. It's like, you know, here's what's happening for your retreat. And, you know, it's just, it feels natural to do that because I want everyone to feel This is your retreat house. It's not mine. I don't live. I mean, I live here, but I you know. I mean, obviously, I don't own it. But it's this mental aspect that's happening for me. There's a shift happening where I really am falling into this. Wow, you know, I absolutely do deserve to be here. There was an aspect of me that I didn't feel like I deserved. I felt like I had to prove myself, and I had to prove myself to Jacqueline, Regina, even everyone who showed up. I wanted to, you know, wow everybody with my food and blah, blah, blah. I'm just, right now, there's a shift. Even though I still want to do that because it's just my expression of love and appreciation, there's a shift. It feels so good. And I love going for walks. Oh my gosh. The walks have been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Just phenomenal. So I hope everyone takes advantage of that when you come here.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. We have another guideline on the walks. The walks are present moment experiences. So we don't walk and chat. You know, you can talk about what's happening right there, like, oh, look at the lovely flowers, or oh, look at how the cloud is on the mountain and looks like, you know, cotton balls or, you know, whatever. But you can only talk about the present moment, no past and future discussion, really focusing on the present. So, and the walks are lovely as a result of that. Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah, so that is that part that's been happening for me. So, when I was you know, when Lynn did what she did, and I noticed that there was commentary within, I caught myself.
Can't wait to hear this.
It was just, it's, you know, simple things, little things, but that's good. You know, that's, to me, that's progress.
Absolutely. Right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Cheryl. And Jay, I noticed you turned on your camera. So does that mean you want to share?
Yeah, I'll go next, Regina. Thanks. These are awesome. We're talking about the mini retreats, right, Regina?
We're talking about correct? The mini retreats and the Satsang and Silence retreat that we had in May. So we're really talking about the month of May.
The whole month, yeah. Wow. Working present backward, we went on a walk Thursday morning to a cemetery. And it's not a depressing or negative thing. It was actually for a very spiritual purpose. But as we walked there, we made a point to, like Cheryl said, be present in our talk. And thank you, Regina, for being our little den mother here. You actually remind in a very loving way. And Jacqueline got a kick out of that. Regina cares for us a lot. She really does. And I see that care in how she really reminds us. And, I got into a little bit of chatter, and Regina caught me on that. And she said, you know, I'm hearing chatter. Let's stay present. And I really appreciated that, because I'm like, gosh, you're right. That was slipping off of purpose. And so then it became this big exercise to observe, like, even when I want to do that, but like she was saying, it's one thing to talk about something that's happening right now, right? Like, I just love the sound of our feet as we're walking. This is the crunching of the rocks. That's really, I enjoy that sound just as a meditation to listen to that. That's just very peaceful to me. But what I noticed was, or even if we observe a house, wow, that house looks really awesome. But then it's another thing to go from there to all my other real estate experience. And then I start talking about my tenants and, well, which one pays on time? And George can relate to this, you know. So, but George, this is where the mind's going off of the moment, right? It's one thing just to make a quick comment and stay present. But so that was a really awesome practice. And actually, since that walk, Regina, I've been continuing to do that, because I want to make that a life thing for me. I don't want to make it just a thing when I go on walks with you guys. I want to make it just, that's a step toward awakening, period. And it was neat to see, because some of the times, you know, my mind did want to wander away. And we went to the cemetery, we reflected on the impermanence of life and, you know, how we only have so much time left. And what are we going to do with this time? You know, what urgency do we have to practice, to be present, and be in the moment? And, you know, not to waste the life we have, because this life, once it's gone, it's gone. There may be impressions that reincarnate, but this life is gone. It won't exist anymore. My opportunity to awaken, to die while I'm alive, will be gone when this body dies. So I felt that urgency that was communicated. And it's a beautiful walk to that little cemetery. And there's other, it reminded me of sort of a walk we went on the Satsang and Sangha retreat, where we went to this St. Mary's Labyrinth sort of park that had seven different beautiful rock labyrinths that you could walk on. And since I like the sound of the walk of the rocks under your feet a lot, it was a really peaceful time for me to walk all those mandalas. But most importantly, like, even the meditations in the retreat center, because the retreat center was purchased with such conscious intention, okay, there's an energy that's there, even when I meditate, that I don't necessarily feel when I meditate in my house here. There's like, it just feels godly. I don't know how else to say it. I think it's just the sheer intention and blessing of spirit and all of our collective intentions that's there. And it moved me to some pretty amazing realizations that, being there that much, I don't, it just accelerated, you know, like the insights I had with Romans 2 and about what we call the original thought of separation, which I don't think of as original sin now. It's just an original thought. That was the thought that we sinned. That was it. That leads to the I am bad thought. The talking, the sacred discussion and satsang that we had after we did our contemplations over and over again was amazing. I wasn't able to participate in the satsang this last Thursday, but I intend to this upcoming. There's going to be one more mini retreat here in June that I'm going to participate in. So really grateful for all of that and the sacred intention that we have when we gather. It seems to have a magical quality to it. And pardon the use of that word. Don't get all up about that. I use the word magic. Okay. I'm just saying the word just to communicate a feeling, which was, it was just special. And not to say anything could be special, but it was particularly focused, and I'm really grateful for that. And a big shift that's still with me today that happened at that retreat. It stuck in deeply and it stayed with me. And I continue to build on it. So, all right, I'm giving up the mic.
Thank you very much, Jay. And I think what I'll do, Shauna has shared during her half hour. So, Shauna, I'm going to pass on you if that's okay. I know it is because we only have 2 minutes left. And I think what I'll do is I'll just show you some photos because, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words. So I'm going to click on the share. And in case you want to see where these photos are in the future, they're at the awakening-together.org under the retreat house. You'll see where it says pictures worth a thousand words. And I'm going to look at the pictures from the retreat house in May 2019. Now, you know, you can't see depth very well in a two-dimensional picture, but we climbed a 650-foot sand dune. And I will tell you, that is a difficult and challenging climb. And what I told everyone when we started this climb was watch your ego. Pay attention to your ego. And afterwards, I asked them what their ego said. And every single one of them said their ego was telling them over and over how they couldn't do this. You know, it was too hard. They couldn't do it. This is Cheryl climbing up one of the steepest parts. Although you can't tell it here, it's so steep. We went up on all fours, as you can see here. We couldn't really stand up straight. This is the top of the 650-foot sand dune. You can see that we did make it. And the lesson here is, you know, your ego doesn't know anything. You know, here it was telling you all day long, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. And every single one of us did it. So that was one of the mini retreats that we had in May. During the silence and satsang retreat, one day we went and visited the St. Louis Shrine. We spent about 3 hours here. People were able to wander around on their own in contemplation, meditation, silence. We went from the St. Louis Shrine to Mother Mary's Garden, which Jay just talked about, which has several different labyrinths. This is Shauna in prayer on one of the labyrinths. And again, this was everybody kind of doing their own thing. And then what we would do after a day of silence and silence is we would come together for satsang. And during this particular retreat, we did it over dessert every day. So we got together for dessert and everyone shared what came up for them. If they had questions, they asked questions and I answered. But we would have a day of silence in beautiful places followed by a satsang. This is another day in that same retreat. We went and sat by the river for a few hours. And this is Cheryl. I snuck up. I didn't want to disturb her contemplation, but I snuck up to get a picture. This is her sitting by the Cucharis River in contemplation. We also went to the sand dunes, not climbing this time. This was a different day. We went this time and we spread out so we could have a day of isolation. This little dot, that's Jay. He was the only one I was able to see. I wasn't able to see Shauna from where I was. I wasn't able to see Cheryl. We all spread out. But that is Jay in contemplation. This was my chair at the sand dunes. On another day, we went to what's called Lover's Leap. and spread out. This was my chair at Lover's Leap for Silence and Satsang. These are some wild horses that we saw while we were driving one day during Silence and Satsang. And this is one of our getting together and sharing. You can see everybody's notebooks. So actually, I think those are napkins that we would eat and share is what we would do. So this is us sharing at the bakery. And then this is a Memorial Day. We went on a hike. And so this is our hike on Memorial Day. So those are our pictures from May. And I have gone over by a minute. I'm getting texts out the yin-yang, so I think it's time for me to go. But we have a lot of guests coming in June. June is a pretty busy week at the retreat house. And, of course, July and August are coming up soon. So hopefully we'll see you there this summer. And I am releasing the mic.